Welcome to Healthcare IT Today. I'm John Lin, together with my colleague and friend, Colin Han. The world of technology and healthcare are ever-changing in new and novel ways, and that's why we love this stuff. So join us as we discuss the latest healthcare and health IT news, meshed together in new ways, which help generate ideas and new perspectives. Plus, we'll have a little fun along the way. And today, we're going to be talking about patient experience. And be sure to follow the show on social media at the hashtag HITSM and our personal accounts at TechGuy and at Colin_Hung. Plus, check out our 18 years of health IT blog content at healthcareittoday.com. So I think I've been too much of a patient lately. I don't know about you. Have you been to the doctor lately?
I have not. And so you're living the experience. I just happen to be going to a lot of patient experience conferences.
That's good. We'll have both perspectives. So that's really interesting. But I would ask you, like, you know, as we dive into this topic, do provider organizations really care about patient experience, or is it kind of lip service that happens at a conference?
You know, for years, if you had asked me that question, I would say it was kind of something that people just said they did. And then, although they did put some dollars behind it, it wasn't serious. But I think that changed even before the pandemic. That changed. And part of the reason I think that organizations, why they do care deeply about patient experience, is they finally woke up to the fact that this actually makes a big difference in whether patients come back and whether they actually will choose your organization. So, and this is, you know, before the joke was patient experience meant whether or not you had valet parking, right? Like, you know, that was sort of the inside joke, but now, no, it's all around, you know, can I actually find a doctor easily? Can I book an appointment easily? Can I get a hold of someone easily if I need to ask a question? Do you send me reminders or not? Like, and then when I arrive, is it easy to find where I need to go? Like, all these things now are impacting decisions that are made by patients. And I think hospitals realize that that is the case. And so over the last 5 years, I have to say they have really been putting a lot of effort in this area.
Yeah. I mean, I've probably said this on too many other people's podcasts, that for a long time, they didn't need to care. Like, they had enough, they had too much demand for their services, and so they didn't need to. But I think what you highlighted that I think is what's fundamentally changed is that patients have more options. They have more opportunity to go somewhere, and that's forcing the hand of provider organizations to say, hey, our patient experience does matter, because if we don't, they are going to go somewhere else. And I don't know if that has to do with consolidation, and with all the consolidation, that's forced them to be more competitive that way, because now, you know, your competitor's driving a better patient experience, I better as well. And so I don't know if competitive pressures are driving it. I don't know if it's, you know, the high deductible plans that are, hey, I'm paying for this, now I care about having a better experience, because of that, you know, because I'm footing the bill for it, or if it's even just the ubiquity of the internet, which helps you understand that there are options, including telehealth options. Or, you know, I said this on a podcast recently. I was like, we have airplane flight to pretty much anywhere. Like, flights to Vegas are really cheap. If you want bariatric surgery, you should fly to Vegas, get bariatric surgery, hang out in a really nice hotel, be treated, you know, 5-star. And it's probably cheaper than going to your local bariatric person who's done 3 of them, right? Whereas the ones in Vegas are doing thousands of them. And so, you know, like, I think we've seen all of these shifts, which are saying, hey, if you don't, there are other options. And so maybe that's part of changing the mindset.
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of factors, right? Competition, right? We've seen, especially in some areas of healthcare, like around retail health, right? We know that the Amazons, the Walgreens, the Walmarts of the world are providing a level of convenience and experience that now patients are demanding of traditional healthcare providers. There's a recognition also that when patients have a good experience, they pay faster. From a revenue cycle standpoint, there is a link, and people are accepting of that link. Whereas before, I think it wasn't proven, but now there is proven links to show when this happens, they pay faster, which is critical for healthcare organizations right now. But also, I think what they realize is, you know, it's just a better patient experience actually improves the experience for everybody. Like your frontline staff have less irate patients to deal with. Patients are more vocal nowadays. They have more outlets to vent, right? You know, they can vent on social media, you know, that they're not being treated properly at a hospital. How embarrassing is that for a hospital to have to then recover from that, which means a lot more marketing work, a lot more executive work. So I think there's such recognition that, hey, like there's a lot of follow-on benefits that aren't just, you know, more patients through the door. There's actually workflow benefits as well. So yeah, I really do think the care, I mean, you know, you could argue, is it still a high priority? I would say it's still below things like cybersecurity and staffing issues, right? But it is on the priority list, and it may not manifest as purely patient experience, right? Like it's not going to be labeled, this is a patient experience project, but things like protecting patient privacy, that's considered part of patient experience. Doing online booking, like or even doing something like a kiosk. You know, those things aren't traditionally thought as necessarily patient experience. Those are mostly done for like workflow reasons, right? And maybe some cost reduction. But they do help the experience overall.
I mean, you're bringing up an interesting point and your comment about them paying if they have a better patient experience. That's fascinating. But I would, you know, let's dive into that. Like, what is patient experience? You gave a few examples. You know, I look at the patient payment experience and think, wow, you know, that's your last memory of healthcare. And it's usually awful because you get 7 bills and you're like, wait, is this the real bill or is this the EOB or is this the whatever? You know, like, is this what I'm supposed to pay or am I supposed to wait because insurance hasn't paid? And, you know, like, what an awful patient experience that is, right? So, I mean, you know, there's that. You add in, you know, alerts in the room, right? The quiet, you know, a hospital room, that's a huge patient experience thing that's definitely influenced by it. I mean, there's reasons those alerts are being put off. We see a lot of solutions in that, you know, a lot of the messaging solutions, whether it's Perfect Server, Volt, which I got acquired by Hill-Rom, or, you know, like all of these different organizations, Rollin, you know, that takes all these alerts and makes it so they can be silent, but they still get to the nurse, right? So, you know, that's patient experience, the bed, the smart bed, the entertainment system, all of those are patient experience, how you check them in. Like the registration process, what is that like? The discharge process, what is that like? Let alone in the ambulatory side, like you said, online self-check-in. You know, I had a great experience recently. I filled out the paperwork 3 different times, 2 electronically and 1 on paper. And it's because their system sucked and the way they did their workflow was awful. And then I told them, I was like, hey, I filled this out a couple of times. Well, these forms are a little different. Well, first of all, if they're different, then go fix the electronic ones, you know, like don't make me fill it out again on paper because it's different. Go fix the electronic ones. So they're the same, right? Like that's the first problem. The second one was, and I was actually going in for 2 appointments. That's why I ended up doing it twice digitally. It's like, you see that I have 2 appointments, like at least just tell me just to only do 1. That's fine, you know, but here's ironic. Because I didn't fill it out and I was actually doing self-pay, I didn't want to do my insurance. I didn't want them to know about what I was doing. And so I couldn't actually check in for the appointment because I didn't upload my insurance card and I didn't want them to have it. And I hadn't filled out the second form. And so they wouldn't let me check in. So the system was killing me, you know, which should have made my life a better patient experience. It was actually worse. So anyway, how would you, you know, what are some other things that you think patient experience is defined as?
I mean, I think everything you just said, John, and all that are touch on all the different areas that impact the overall patient experience, right? Whether it's the tail end revenue cycle stuff, whether it's the front end check-in, and then all the things in between. I mean, I often refer back to the Beryl Institute's definition of patient experience. So for those that don't know, Beryl Institute is a nonprofit organization that really is 100% focused on patient experience. I particularly like their definition. So I'm just going to read it here. So they define patient experience as the sum of all interactions shaped by an organization's culture that influence the patient's perception across the continuum of care. So there's 2 key parts to this definition. One is the sum total of all interactions, right? So it at any interaction point, whether that's between the patient and the cafeteria, right? The patient and the payment, between the patient and clinicians, all those make up the patient experience. And the other key part of that definition is the patient's perception. So what's key here is it's not actually what you do, but actually how the patient perceives what you do. Because that is the key, right? Like, you know, as much as we'd like to think that, you know, the patients would appreciate X or Y, if they can't perceive it, or if they don't realize that's being done, then it doesn't impact them, right? So that's why I like this definition, is it's got two key pieces here. And that's how I look at patient experience as well. It's all the interactions, and it's the way that the patient perceives those interactions across every point of their care.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because if you give them a one pager to fill out as paperwork, they may still perceive it as an awful experience, when you're in your perspective might be, hey, this used to be 7 pages, right? Like, exactly. But their perception could still be, hey, this is awful. That's fascinating. It reminds me also of a tweet I saw from a Dr. Lewis, I think is his name. He's an oncologist. And one of his patients rated him 4 out of 5 stars. And in the review, you know, in the note about this, it said, you know, Dr. Lewis saved my life. And he's like, what am I supposed to do to get 5 stars? I saved the person's life. And I'd love to hear why they gave 4 out of 5 stars. I jokingly said, it's probably the food. The food was bad. And that's why I got 4 instead of 5, even though you saved their life and they still are giving you 4 star. So, I mean, it goes back to, it's the sum total of everything. You know, if they couldn't find parking, maybe that's why they got 4 stars instead of 5, right? Or, you know, all this variety of things that contribute to the patient experience.
Well, and I have to say this, you know, and this happened at the recent Barrel Elevate PX conference that I was at, and a number of other conferences too. Even companies like Press Ganey and NRC, they're talking about this. It's sort of morphed, John. It you know, it used to be 100% focused on the patient side of the experience, but all these organizations, these leading organizations, have started to add in a new element, and they've called it now the human experience. Hmm. And the reason why they've started to say that is because there's recognition that good patient experience cannot exist without good staff experience. Hmm. Right? If your staff are not happy, are not performing at their best, don't have the resources to perform at the best, then patient experience is going to suffer no matter what you try. Right. And so there's a recognition that the human experience extends both to staff and the people that are providing the care, but also to the family and the caregivers of the patients. So it's more inclusive, in other words. So that before, it used to be just focused whoever was in the bed, whoever was having the appointment. But now there's recognition that the experience extends well beyond that. And you need to make sure that those other people are well taken care of too, so they can then focus on the patient. And I think that's really, again, a reason why experience has expanded in terms of its scope, and why more healthcare organizations are focusing on this, because it now includes staff experience and clinician experience.
It's interesting you say that. I think it was a CIO podcast that I was doing recently, and they were talking about their new hospital, and it had bigger exam rooms, and it had a private area for the doctor to work, and it had a private area for the family to enjoy a little privacy and a little, you know, quiet time. And he's like, it's amazing the impact those things have had on the patient experience, because if the family's happy, that helps, right? If the doctor has a place to be able to do some work, that helps the experience. And, you know, it was amazing that kind of, like you said, almost trickle down effect of, if you take care of the family and you take care of the staff, then, you know, wasn't it Richard Branson who said, I take care of my employees and they take care of the customers, right? I think it's similar.
That's right. And hey, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Healthcare IT Today with John Lin and Colin Hung. Today, we're discussing the patient experience, which is a topic that we actually cover on our sister publication, Sway Health. That's Sway with 2 A's, .health. Over there, you'll find a lot of great content on digital front door, patient engagement, patient acquisition, and of course, healthcare marketing. Please go and check out Sway Health. So, John, let me ask you a question. What do you think are some of the main patient experience focus areas for provider organizations? What have you seen?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, you see a kind of a multivariate, right? Depending on who the person is. I think, you know, on our marketing side, with a lot of our marketing people who are focused on patient experience, it's about that digital front door. What does that look like? How do I get them through the door? How do I make a great experience? How do I get the check-in process, you know, clean? How do I ensure that they remember their appointment? Like, who would have thought, you know, reminders for your appointment are actually part of the patient experience, right? So all of that digital front doors, and it seems like that is a major focus area for most healthcare organizations that I see. And I don't know, you know, what's driving the demand. Is it the evolution of the tools as well? Because the tools have gotten a lot better. The EHR vendors have allowed for integrations that make it a better experience, you know, along with it. So, you know, I think we see that the digital front door on the one side. The other side that I see a lot of focus on is the smart hospital room, if you will, you know, taking the room as you know it and making it, you know, applying technology, sure, but also what does that experience seem like for the patient? How do we make it a great one for them? You know, I saw that firsthand at HIMSS with Ividion and their smart boards. And of course, their, you know, the smart TVs that have the entertainment system and all that. You know, who would have thought that the board is such an important aspect of your experience? But you know, if you've ever been in a hospital room, you should know that because you sit there and stare at the board all the time, right? Because there's only so many things to look at, right? And so you're evaluating what's in there and it can really impact the experience. And going to your point, for the staff who need the information when they go into the room or for the, you know, the patient that's there. And I think the other trend I see in that kind of smart hospital room is empowering the patient to be able to do more things. Hey, could you send me water? Could you send me, you know, I need some more ice, you know, whatever, right? Whatever request that they need, having the patient being able to do that. And then of course, you know, Ividion taught me it's routing it to the right person too, right? So it's not just, you know, sending it to the nurse. Well, does the nurse need to bring water? No, there might be some other people that, you know, are better for that and let the nurse focus on the higher level stuff. So I think those are maybe the two biggest trends that I see.
I know a lot of in-room stuff for sure, right? I was getting a demonstration from you know, the folks at OneView and PCare, and both of them have the capabilities that I know Ividion has as well, where, you know, it's a lot of patient education that's personalized, you know, because they know who's in the room, right? And so right on the TV there, they can have options, say, hey, when you go home, you know, make sure to do these things. And here's a video on how you can do this once you get that at home. Here's the exercise that was the doc has asked you to do. Here's a video of someone else doing it and you can do it, right? Like a lot of the stuff now is very personalized. And to your point, John, it's very empowering for the patients to be able to control, you know, some things about their time in the hospital, right? Like, you know, hey, like, I don't want to visit right now. I really want to go sleep, you know, or hey, like I'd really like, you know, this as my meal today. Just simple things like that can be very empowering. And a lot of these kinds of organizations are providing that in the rooms. You know, for me, you know, the area that I see a lot of investment is really on the upfront side, right? The digital front door, which includes one big thing, which is finding and matching to a doc, right? And so, you know, I've seen a lot of demonstrations from Kairos, from ZocDoc, from other companies that, you know, basically focus on this one part where if I'm looking for care, it starts to figure out who I am, where I am, what condition I have, and then starts to match me with a doctor, either within a system I'm looking at, but based not just on those parameters, but on parameters like preference, language. And I think that is really making a huge difference in terms of patient acquisition. And so it's just more than provider directories now. It's getting into a lot of these AI matching and distance and figuring these kinds of things out. And I think that's making a very significant difference for patients. And then the last thing I'll say is, and I don't know why, maybe it's just the conferences I've been going to, but I've seen a lot of focus around translation services, you know, and making sure that those are instantaneously available when they are needed right at the bedside. Right. So I recently got a demonstration from a company called Vita Talk. I've seen other organizations at other conferences, you know, be able to offer these kind of translation services. So those are the kinds of areas that I've seen definitely a lot of presence, and which to me says that organizations are investing in those.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think there's so much opportunity. That, and sometimes that's the biggest challenge for healthcare organizations right now. Is like, where do I focus my energy and my effort when, you know, I have 5,000 Epic tickets to address as well, along with all of the cool new innovations, the new AI, the chatbots that can be on the website, the, you know, the check-in experience, you know, so like, there's so many opportunities. The question is, where do you focus? And I think that's maybe the biggest challenge that I see when I talk to CIOs is like, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity, but I'm overwhelmed, right? Like, so where do I focus next? So I think that's the interesting evolution. You know, what has been the best patient experience that you've seen recently? Is there something you saw at the conference or maybe you experienced as a patient that you're like, yeah, that was a cool experience?
Well, I mean, as we started at the top, I've thankfully, knock on wood, have not had to make use of the healthcare system and recently. So I haven't got any personal patient experiences that I can talk to. But in terms of what I've seen and what I've heard at various conferences, you know, I'll pick out a couple. One that I saw recently was through a company called Artria Health, right? Formerly Well Health. So they provided an experience and they were telling me a story how they helped one healthcare organization realize that they were sending a patient 60 messages in a single day. This patient had multiple conditions and were seeing multiple specialties within their system and multiple sites within that system, going to multiple sites. And in one day, this person got almost 60 reminders and various texts for education and stuff, because each department would send like one or two, right? And it just so happened on this one day, it all coalesced into one. And you can imagine that's way too much of a good thing, right? Like, once a week or once a day, it's okay. But 60 is like overwhelming. And their system is able to detect this because they have a dashboard that looks over all the communications going to a single contact. And so they were able to flag this to the organization, who has now put in better governance to say, no, guys, like, we got to set an upper limit here, right? And we're going to prioritize which messages actually go through to the patient. And then maybe we'll delay the other ones to other days or consolidate them. So, you know, that was very impressive to me, because before, this kind of thinking didn't exist, right? But now that everyone's doing reminders, now this kind of technology is getting there, and Artria is one of the people that are really seem to have implemented it pretty well. So that to me was sort of an example of a good patient experience.
That's an interesting one. You know, I take so many Southwest flights. You know, their alerts I don't even look at anymore. You know, like, their emails fall on deaf ears because I have so many flights. I have no idea what that notification, which flight that's even for. So I imagine the patient's in a similar situation where it's like, what is this even for? Like, it's hard to even process when you have that many. Interesting. I mean, I highlighted two already. You know, the work that Evidion's doing with the smart board is just super fascinating to me. And creates a really great patient experience. You know, it's amazing how much you get used to like a certain color or a certain logo to tell you information. And so it's interesting to see that done in a virtual setting and the flexibility they allow hospitals to do. I think that's fascinating. And sure, the design of these new hospitals are really interesting to see. The hard thing is like, well, how does that translate to the old one, right? Like, how do we do those same experiences in the older hospitals that weren't designed with patient-friendly, you know, family, et cetera, you know, in mind? But there's one that, you know, I'd say I actually had a bad and a good experience. And that was with radiology images. I asked, my son broke his arm and we went and got the radiology stuff. And, you know, I said, hey, can you give me the CD? And he said, sure. So he gave me the CD. You know, then I went to the specialist. I said, hey, can you give me the CD? They're like, oh, we like to wait until after all of the radiology is done, because he has to go again in 2 weeks to get a check. I was like, okay, that's fine. For the record, I did break the first CD, but after I'd already copied it to my computer. So anyway, CD is not ideal. And the second one didn't even give it to me, so I don't even have the imaging. Well, then I went for an MRI myself that had my own, you know, done. And I said, hey, can I get the CD? They're like, oh, it doesn't fit on the CD. I was like, oh, that's true. Can I get the images? Said, yep, you'll get a link. You can view it all online. And, you know, I our friends at Pocket Health that are neighbors of yours, they do that as well. And I was like, how much better of an experience is that for me that they're just like, here's the link, you can have the imaging. And now, you know what I did? I was like, and I haven't done it yet, but I was like, I want to go ask for the other images onto this web platform. So it's all in one place, right? But it was like, that was just dramatically better because I want my images because I know that helps with continuity of care. I can go to my radiology friends, get second opinions. I can, you know, I can do all sorts of things with those radiology images. But if they're stuck on a machine at the doctor's office that I'm not going to, I can't do that. So anyway, that was a good, bad, and beautiful patient experience that shows the whole spectrum of what's out there when it comes to patient experience.
Absolutely. And I have to give a shout out too, John. You were just reminding me, you know, I recently did an interview with the team over at Open Notes, right? Mm-hmm. And for years, Open Notes has been championing that same openness that you're talking about for images, but for the entire record, yeah. And mostly for the doctor's notes so that patients can access the doctor's note and see what the doctor wrote. And I know there was a lot of trepidation over doing this, but time and time again, the research that Open Notes has done has shown that patients don't freak out when they see doctor's notes, and it actually does not increase the number of phone calls. In fact, it decreases it, and it improves the overall experience that patients have, and they're better for it, meaning they have better outcomes because they're able to understand what is being said about them and their condition. So, you know, the Open Notes, you know, has just created a new lab where they're going to be working on the intersection between AI and patient experience and patients in general, and also around sharing of that data. So you're absolutely right that, you know, now we're bringing in interoperability into patient experience, but that does, you know, you talk about the final step, right? Like after you've paid for your care, the real final step is now I want that information from, you know, the image or the test results or whatever. And if that you make that difficult, which unfortunately it is in most cases, that will ruin what was maybe a very smooth experience up until that point.
Yeah, absolutely. One other quick one that I had was a telehealth one. You know, it turns out they were using AdvancedMD. They had a nice Zoom integration. And to be fair, it wasn't as seamless as I would have loved. I had to wait for the join button. I wasn't updated. Is she coming? Does she have to call? What's going on? Is this going to work for me and my ex-wife? You know, because we're both joining from separate places. So, but the good news is that it worked. Like, and we didn't have to drive to the office. And I was out of state and she wasn't, and it worked out fine. And so, you know, like, shout out to them for offering that and making that available. Sure, we could still, you know, improve some of the workflow and some of those other things. But, you know, all in all, I was really happy because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to participate in my son's care. And that was a powerful thing. So shout out to them for making it available.
Well, John, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you for those who tuned in to Healthcare IT Today. You can find more details about our show by checking out the programs page on healthcarenowradio.com. And please share your voice and engage with the community at healthcareittoday.com and on social media using the hashtag HITSM. I'm Colin Hung, along with my friend and health IT collaborator, John Lin. Thanks for listening and have a great week.